Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We are in the house of the Lord again to worship you and to hear the word of the Lord and to fellowship one with another. And as always, Lord, you said the entrance of your word brings light. And we know the light of God's word will be coming to us today. And we ask, O Lord, you said, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. We ask that the oracles of God will declare this message and bring a lifting up to the people of God. And let your name be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says,
yeah.
Let's come on. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Now, I want to also let you know, I am going to be doing a series starting pretty soon. I don't know when I'll be doing that, on the kings and the prophets, you know, from the Old Testament, the kings of Judah and Israel and the prophets. I may start it next week. I may preach some of it in some of the midweek services or in the Faith Lab or whatever. And if you miss it, you're going to miss something good because I've been working on that for a while. And some of the message this morning comes from, you know, two kings that we will be looking at, and many some of these kings, some of them did evil in the sight of the Lord, and some did good, and you know, we're going to bring out a lot of interesting points when we start our series, so you want to be here in every service, because you don't know when we will be doing that, and I believe we may start that next week, and but this is going to be some part of it, but it's titled differently today. It is Our Eyes Are Upon Thee, and I'm going to start with Jehoshaphat. And then I'm going to go to his father, his name was Asa. So I'm going to show some of the things that they said, you know, and how we bring this message out of that. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles. And I'm going to start at chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. Now, we've preached on this text before, but today I'm going to paraphrase the story. Now, Jehoshaphat, of course, you know, was you know, one of the kings, you know, of Judah. And you know, the kings of Judah had, you know, interesting, you know, stories about them. The kings of Israel, you know, well, many of them not too interesting and so forth. You know, and we'll be talking more about that later on. You know, there was Saul, then there was David, then there was Solomon, and those people sort of reigned over combined Israel. And then after Solomon, he split, you know, went, you know, some Judah went this way and Israel went that way. And sometimes even the, you know, the two factions, they even fought against one another. You know, you'll find out that when we go into that series. You know, but today, one of the good kings, his name was Jehoshaphat. And of course, you know, he came down the line there through Solomon. You know, if you remember that God had promised David, you know, let me read this to you here. In Isaiah, before we go over there, let me read this promise to you here that God said. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Here's what the Lord said. See, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, Jesus himself said, you know, in the book of Revelation, he said, I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, you know, right here, you know, David, he came out of, you know, he was like that little rod that came out of Jesse, you know, because Jesus said, you know, that he's going to rule and sit upon the throne of David. And the branch, you will notice the capital B. You know, that's the Lord himself. You know, the root and the offspring of David is right here in this verse. Now, all of these things, all of the good things that we will be talking about when we get to the series, you know, they are in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and today, Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to start at verse 1 to give you a quick background to the story. Now, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and Ammon and, you know, and so forth, they, you know, Mount Seir, all of them, they came together to battle against Jehoshaphat. You know, and because they were such a great company, verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. Now, that's a good thing that Jehoshaphat did. Now, when you are cornered, when you are backed up to a corner, when your back is to the Red Sea or whatever, or you know, you are facing crisis in your life and there is no place to turn. Now, who do you turn to? You know, well, here's a good example here. Somebody that knew how to turn to the Lord. Now, some people run to different things when they are in great crisis and even tragedy and things that are seemingly, you know, insurmountable in their lives. But let's see what Jehoshaphat did. He feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Now, that's the topic this morning is going to be about help from the Lord, even though it's titled, Our Eyes Are Upon Thee, and you'll see why in a minute. And so they all came out of all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. You know, and so, you know, they were facing, you know, their enemies were bearing down on them. They were facing, you know, this crisis and so forth. And I'm going to skip some of the verses, then I'll jump to verse 10 here. And now behold the children of Ammon. Now, you know, when, you know, God had allowed the Israelites to spare this Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, the people there, you know, when they were passing through the place and destroying all the tribes and countries and so on. You know, but here's what they did. The children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou would next let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, now they've turned against us. See how they repaid us. You know, so Jehoshaphat said, look, you know, God didn't let us destroy them then. We left them alone and so forth. And now they have turned against us. You know, see how they have rewarded us and come out against to take thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, verse 12, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And that's where the message comes from this morning. You know, I mean, Jehoshaphat was faced with destruction. You know, he had, you know, these guys were multitudes. And they, you know, they had four or five times the size of his own army in there and so forth. And he didn't know what to do. But he had the secret. The beginning of your miracle is in this phrase right here, where it says, our eyes are upon thee. How many of you can say amen to that? That's the beginning of your miracle right there. Put your eyes on the Lord. Don't look at all the events and all the problems around you, you know, but keep your eyes on the Lord. He says, you know, this company are so great for us, we don't even know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, that was the beginning of his miracle right there. Of course, he set his heart to seek the Lord. Now, verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and so forth like that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came and gave them a word, you know, as they were believing God. He said, hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. Now, doesn't that sound like the Lord? He always has a way to calm you down. You know, when you are in anxiety and fearful and so forth, he'll come upon you and say, fear not, and be not dismayed. Amen? Fear not, and be not afraid or dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Now, I like the sound of that. Don't you? Yes, the battle is not yours, but it is God. Now, tomorrow, so he begins to give them instructions of what to do. He said, go down over here and do this and so forth tomorrow. And in verse 17, ye shall not even need to fight in this battle, but you set yourselves, you stand still, and you see the salvation of the Lord because you have put your eyes upon him. You know, because Jehoshaphat said, our eyes are upon you. And the Lord said, all right, well, if your eyes are upon me, then I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight for you. And you are going to see the salvation of the Lord. Now, so that's a lesson for us today. Our eyes are upon you. And so forth. Say, go out today against them tomorrow, and the Lord, he will be with you. So Jehoshaphat, when he heard the word of the Lord, he bowed down. Now, when the word of the Lord comes to you, you know, you better receive that word. See? By faith. And let it be mingled with faith in your heart, and receive it, and ponder it in your heart, and believe it. And that's when the Lord can act upon that word for you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head down to the ground and so forth, and he worshipped the Lord. Now, But he didn't stop there. You know, and then they rose up early in verse 20. And Jehoshaphat, here's what he said to them. Hear me, O Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. And I want to encourage every one of you today, believe in the Lord your God. Never mind the economy. Never mind all of these things that are happening. Believe the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, and believe also the word of the Lord that is coming this message this morning. And the Lord's going to tell you something before we get through here. And so shall ye prosper. Now, when he hath consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. You know, and we've preached on this before. And they went out before the army. So we see how he put the praise ahead of the battle. You know, so that's Jehoshaphat. He put the praise ahead of battle, and he began to say, praise the name of the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now that's something that is lacking these days, you know, from the people of God, you know, to just recount his mercy. You know, I want the people of God, every time, just think about the mercies of God. Because without his mercy, we would have all been consumed. How many of you know that's true? And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And when they began to praise and began to do these things and praise the Lord even before they went to battle and so on, you know, the Bible says the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. The children of Ammon begin to kill the children of Moab, and the children of Moab begin to kill the children of Mount Seir, and all of them just killed each other, you know, all of them. You know, just killed each other like that, and, you know, the children of the Lord in Jehoshaphat's camp, they didn't even have to do anything. They won the victory, you know, because they put their eyes on the Lord. Now, when you are back to a corner, and when the enemy is too strong for you, you need to put your eyes upon the Lord. How many of you say amen to that? Now, let's see what Jehoshaphat's father, now this kind of faith runs in the family for Jehoshaphat and so forth. His father was like that too. You know, before all of that, you know, Jehoshaphat is a popular story in the Bible, and some of you may know that, but you may not know his father. His name was Asa, and we are going to see, you know, how he himself had this kind of faith and did almost exactly the same thing, you know, when he was in a situation like that. And I want you to go back a few chapters to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And let's see what Asa did in his own time when he was faced, you know, with a very similar situation. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 2. And Asa did that which was good in the and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away, see, now he cut down all the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he broke down all the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord their God, you know, and to do the law and the commandment. And so Asa, his heart, he prepared his heart to serve and to seek the law. And he took away out of the cities of Judah all the high places and all these things that they were doing. The kingdom was quiet, you know, before him, because, you know, he trusted in the Lord and he loved the Lord and he served the Lord. And the Bible says, you know, for even about 10 years during his time there, there was no war and everything was good. Then all of a sudden, here comes, you know, something here. You know, we're going to see the army that Asa had and the army that came up against him, the Ethiopians and different people that came up against him, and see this, the comparison in the sizes and see what they did. Now, Asa, he had about 300,000 men. Now, Second Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 8. He said that Asa had an army, you know, that, you know, were about 300,000 out of Benjamin and so forth like that, you know. So, and apart from that, he also had 200, you know, and 80,000, you know, so that's 280,000, you know, of men. So he had about 3,000 on one side, you know, they had, you know, bows and arrows and so forth. And then he had, you know, about 280,000 of those were, you know, mighty men of valor. You know, but look at what come up against him. And that came out of, you know, Zera, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000. That's a million. You know, a host of million soldiers came up against him, and he only had like 300,000. You know, and so Asa went out against him in verse 10, and they said battle. in the valley of Zephathah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God in verse 11 and said, now, I want you to listen to this verse, because this is, you know, the text. This is part of the text, and this is the topic for this message today. Our eyes are on the Lord, but let's listen to Asa's version. Now, that was Jehoshaphat's version, was our eyes are upon thee, because we don't know what to do this against this mighty army. You know, they're too strong for us, neither know we what to do against them, but our eyes are upon you, he said. Now, let's see Asa's version. Now, Asa cried unto the Lord, his God. See, now, is the Lord your God this morning? Can you make that personal connection with God like they did some of these good kings? You say, the Lord, his God. So he cried unto the Lord, his God. And he said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, see, whether with many or with them that have no power or any might. You know, see, you know, Asa, he began to understand here the Lord. He said, look, it doesn't matter with you, you know, whether it is many or few or even people, you know, that have no strength and no might and anything. You know, you can get us the victory. You can do whatever you want. You don't need, you know, a lot of people. And he began to say, you know, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. Now, that's the same thing, like our eyes are upon you, which later Jehoshaphat, he learned that from his father. They knew how to walk that trust in the Lord in their generations. And he said, for our eyes are upon you, was what Jehoshaphat said, but his father Asa here, he said, for we rest upon thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. Amen? Amen? Of course, you know, these were grandchildren of David. You know, and they've heard all those stories, you know, about David, how he slew Goliath and all these things. So they knew, it ran in the family, this kind of faith. You know, so they knew how to trust the Lord. And the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now, they went up against, you know, an army that was more than three times their own number. You know, but he said, you know, our eyes are upon thee. Now, Asa was back to the wall, you know, I mean, he was cornered, and so was Jehoshaphat. They were cornered, you know, they were surrounded on every side, but they knew the secret was to put the eyes on the Lord and not to fear because of the multitude. Say, our eyes are upon thee, and they got the victory. Amen? Amen. And Asa said one thing here, a secret that I want you to learn this morning. He said, look, it is nothing for you, Lord, to help, either with many. I mean, you don't need to use many. I mean, you can even use those that have no power and those that have no strength at all. You know, it's nothing to you. It's the same for you anyway, you know, because you can do all these things. Now, in Isaiah chapter 40, let's see the way Isaiah put it. And verse 28. He's going to talk about these people that have no power and these people that have no strength. And let's see what the Lord does for them. You know, he says, Isaiah 40 and 28. Hast thou not known? And have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, that he fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? Haven't you heard that the Lord never faints, and the Lord is never weary? Amen? Can you say amen to that this morning? He giveth power to the faint, and even to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You know, so Asa said the same thing. He said, look, even for those that have no power, no might, it is nothing with the Lord to help. You know, he knows how to get the victory. You know, he doesn't need multitude in numbers. And he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Wow. Some people trust in chariots, the Bible said. Others trust in horses. But he said, we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, that's in the book of Psalm chapter 20, and starting at verse 7. Psalms 20, verses 7 and 8. Let's see what happens to people that trust in chariots and horses. Now remember, chariots and horses, in those days, that was how they were clad for the battle. That was the weaponry that they had back in those days. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. Psalm 20 and verse 7. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now they are brought down and falling, but we are risen and we stand upright. Now those that trust in chariots and horses or in the power of the flesh, they will fall, the Bible says. But they that trust in the name of the Lord, they will be risen and they will stand upright. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. In this verse, the writer of this book is going to tell us, you know, a great secret here. I returned and saw under the sun, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. What is he saying here? Now, he said the race is not to the rich. What do you mean the race is not to the rich? Swift. I mean, you watch the Olympics, you find out the fastest man, he won the race. You know? So what is he talking about here? You know? The race is not to the swift. He's saying, look, when it comes to the Lord and the way that God walks, doesn't necessarily need for you to be fast and to be the fastest in order for you to win the race. The Lord doesn't need for you to be the strongest in order for you to win the battle. And the Lord doesn't need for you to be the wisest in order for you to be able to get riches and wealth. Because the Bible says, the Lord giveth the power to get wealth. So, what he's saying here is the race is not to the swift. It's not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It's not for the strength that you have that you are going to win. It's not for the quickness of your feet that you are going to run the race. It is of the Lord that showeth mercy. And it is God that gives favor. And it's not anything that we have. So we see that these are important principles to learn as we read these scriptures. And in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, he brings it right out. And he says, it is not by power and it is not by might, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. How many of you know it's not by power or might? The things that you are facing that may seem insurmountable to you today, you know, this mountain shall be removed. The mountain that you are facing can be brought down, but it won't be by power. It won't be by might. It's going to be by the spirit of the Lord. So you must keep your eyes upon the Lord, and you must rest on him. Jehoshaphat said, our eyes are upon thee, and Asa said, we rest upon you, and you can deliver, not by the strength, and not by the numbers. You can deliver, you know, by the power of God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, when all these things come upon you, let's look at some other examples where things came upon them in the Bible, and see how they did, and how they, you know, got the victory and walked out of it. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14, we see that the children of Israel, the experience at the Red Sea, they are backed up against the wall here. You know, literally speaking, the Red Sea is in front of them. Pharaoh's army is charging down behind them. And they don't know what to do. And they began to, you know, and Moses, he cried unto the Lord in Exodus 14 and 13. And then he stood and talked to the people and said to the people, he said, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now you have to put your eyes on him for you to see that. And he will show you today this salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them no more after today. For the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace when you keep your eyes on him. Amen? That's what he said. Psalm 121, I'm going to read some Psalms, you know, and I exhort you with this, and then we are going to pray together and see what the Lord is going to tell us, you know, and how to help you believe the Lord for whatever situation you are in. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. How many of you know that your help comes from the Lord? Vain is the help of man. Don't look at anybody. It is the Lord that is going to help you. That's Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Now, Psalm 33, verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Let's see what the psalmist says about help from the Lord. Psalm 23. These are what the next few verses are about. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waiteth for thee, O Lord, for our help. For thou, you know, for he is our help and our shield. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. And he said, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Now, are you trusting in his holy name this morning? Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. You know, so the psalmist, he said, you know, our help is from the Lord. He knew how to get help from the Lord. He knew how to put his eyes upon the Lord. Psalm 46 and verse 1. He said, the Lord God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Are you in trouble this morning with your finances? Are you in trouble? Have you lost your job, or is the situation too hard for you to even bear? Are you crumbling under the weight of the problems that you're having and the circumstances around you? Keep your eyes on the Lord this morning and rest upon him and see what he will do for you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. And if you believe that, you can say amen. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake, and all of these things around you are bursting forth and collapsing and so forth, he said, we shall not fear, because God is our strength and God is our refuge. Psalm 115 and verse 11. Psalm 115 and verse 11. I mean, let's see some of the ways that the psalmist put it all together. He said, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Oh, the Lord is your help and your shield if you will only trust in him. Psalm 124 and verse 8. Psalm 124 and verse 8. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now let me read the first few verses preceding that. If it had not been for the Lord that was on our side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us, he said. You know, the waters would have overwhelmed us, and the stream would have gone over our soul. The proud waters would have covered our, you know, our soul and so forth. But blessed be the Lord that has not given us a prey unto their teeth. Blessed be the Lord that will not let you be overcome by the problems that you face. Amen? Our soul is escaped as a bird, clean escaped out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 145, verses 14. Psalm 145, 14 through about 19. Let me read. Psalm 145, verse 14. It says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Are your eyes upon the Lord this morning? Are your eyes upon the Lord? Church, talk to me. Are your eyes upon the Lord? Yes, our eyes are upon thee. Say, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Now, the prerequisite for God supplying your needs is for your eyes to be upon him. That's what this verse is saying. God will give you your meat in due season, but first, your eyes must be upon him. You must put your eyes upon him. You must look unto him for his help. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. That's what the Lord said. The Lord openeth his hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. Now he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry, and he will save them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My eyes are upon the Lord this morning, and I am looking for a blessing from him. Amen. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord, and I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Is that your confession this morning? Will you praise the Lord as long as you live? There is no praise in the grave. And some people are you know, I don't know what they're waiting for to praise the Lord and so forth. You know, once you go down in the dust, that's it. Can't praise the Lord anymore. Now is the time to praise the Lord. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man. See, in whom there is no help. You know, now, you know, don't be looking for help from here or there. You know, the Lord may use people to help you, but it is still the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that God can't use people, but it is the Lord. You must recognize God as your source. My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4 and 19. According to his riches in glory. You know, not according to your job, and not according to your salary, or not according to anything else, but according to his riches in glory. Now put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Why? Because, you know, he goeth forth in one day, and the next thing you know, his thoughts are perished. But happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, you know, and all that therein is, and which keepeth truth forever, which executed. Now, this is what God is going to do for you when your eyes are upon him. He's going to execute judgment for the oppressed. Are you oppressed this morning? The Lord is going to take up your cause. You know, he will give food to the hungry. Are you hungry? The Lord, he will open his hand and he will satisfy your desire if you keep your eyes on him. The Lord will loosen even the prisoners. He will open the eyes of the blind and raise them that are bowed down. The Lord, he loveth the righteous. Oh, the Lord will preserve even strangers, the fatherless, you know, the widows, and all these things. And the Lord shall reign forever and ever. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Now we've seen Jehoshaphat, and we've seen Asa, two of the good kings in Judah. We've seen when they were back now, just because they were righteous, and just because they were good, that didn't prevent their calamities and the problems from coming against them, and all the challenges and so forth. You know, but because they put their eyes on the Lord, and because they were righteous, when the troubles came, they remembered the Lord their God, and the Lord, he remembered them. And the Lord, he stood up on their behalf. You know, so we don't want to leave you the impression that, you know, if you are a child of God, or you love the Lord and so forth, that everything is going to be just all right, and that we will never have any trouble. Well, if anybody ever told you that, well, they haven't read this Bible. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the end of the story is the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So if anybody tells you that, oh, well, once you become saved or righteous, then all your problems will go away, they haven't read this Bible. You know, your problems will not go away. In fact, they might be compounded. But you will have the victory when you put your eyes on the Lord. Amen? You know, so, you know, we see that Jehoshaphat, he knew how to put his eyes on the Lord. And he knew how to walk the praise and put the praise ahead of the battle. And Asa, his father before him, he did the same thing. You know, because his own father before him and so forth like that. You know, they've heard all the stories of David, their great grandfather. And they knew how he loved the Lord. And they knew how David said, I don't care if all the world is against me and so forth. In this will I be confident. Though all of these things shall rise up against me, my heart shall not fear. You know, they've heard all the things that David said, you know, and they began to apply that in their own lives, and they begin to see, you know, the same thing. Now, you young people, you know, you follow the faith, you know, of your godly parents. You know, even, you know, Paul will write into Timothy and Titus, and he would tell them, he said, look, you know, you keep this faith that was in your mother, and also in your grandmother, even ahead of you, you know, and so forth. You know, so the faith that we follow, we want the young people to follow the same thing. We want everybody in the congregation, everybody in the house of God, all the children of God, all the people of God to follow God's faith and follow this way of getting victory by keeping your eyes on the Lord. Now, if you do that, you know, here's what God will do for you. God will undertake to fight for you. How many of you can say amen? You know, there are some things that you cannot do yourself anyway. Now, when you are sinking, when you are in a quicksand, you know, so to speak, and if you are struggling, I mean, you'll just be going deeper, you know. So you got to let go and let the rescuer pull you out. And if you are drowning, you're in a swimming pool and you're not, you know, you don't know how to swim and so forth, and you're about to drown, and somebody is trying to rescue you and you're struggling and so forth, you're likely to drown. You're going to have to let go and let the rescuer pull you out. Now God is our rescuer. God is our helper. But you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let him help you. You're going to have to put it in his hands and let him take charge of everything. Now, as long as you still want to do it, you know, remember, he said, you know, it's not by many. He doesn't help with many. He doesn't even, you know, need anybody that is mighty or strong. He said, even for those that have no power and those that have no might, you know, he's able to do what he wants to do. And one time, the story of Gideon, and I'm not going to take time to read it, because I want to move on here and close this. You know, he had, you know, an army that started out with hundreds of thousands of people. And God began to trim it down. Until finally, he trimmed it down to just 300 people. Because God, he wanted to show them that he wasn't going to do it by power. He wasn't going to do it by might. And at the end, he won the victory with just 300 people. Now, one of the things that the people of God must learn to do, you know, every time you face challenges, and sometimes you're going to face some very hard times. Now, if anybody tells you that, you know, hard times are going to be over in a couple of months or in a couple of years, you know, they don't know what they are talking about. You know, because, you know, these things that we are seeing today, the Bible says these are the beginnings of sorrows. You know. Now, but that's for the world. Because the Bible says, gross darkness shall cover the people. And there shall be darkness and confusion of faces upon the people in general. But upon the children of God, the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon them. Oh yes, absolutely. Because the Lord, he will make you, he will establish you even in drought. He will establish you even in famine. When everybody else says, I can't take it anymore, the children of God are going to lift up their heads. And they are going to say, our eyes are upon thee, Lord. And you are going to say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills because my God is coming with my help. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Oh, I want you to say, Yahweh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That name, it means God is our help. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You see the Lord as your help this morning. Do you know that God, Jehovah, is your helper? Will you keep your eyes upon him this morning? Can you say like Asa said, we rest upon the Lord? Can you say like Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do in this situation, but our eyes are upon thee. Now you may be in debt, you may be in some kind of crisis, you may be in things that are overwhelmed you, and you don't even know where to start. That's exactly where Jehoshaphat was, said, we don't even know what to do against this company that is so large and come against us right on the side and behind us and everywhere. But Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And I'm going to begin to praise the Lord, and I'm going to wait and see the victory. And as he began to put the praise of the Lord, he began to look upon the Lord and began to glorify him. He began to tell God that, Lord, you are the great God. We have you for our captain, he told the Lord. And then the next thing you know, God bestirred himself, wiped off all their enemies. Today, no matter what you are facing, I want you to lift up your eyes unto the Lord this morning. Everybody here, lift up your hands. We're going to pray together. I want you to lift up. You say, well, I guarantee you there is not a single soul in this place that doesn't have challenges. If you don't have personal challenges, you know somebody who does. It's close to home now. It's closer to home now than ever before. You know, it's not just your neighbor down the street anymore. It is some member of your family already. Even if it's not you, most of the time it's you yourself. You know, everybody is faced with crisis. Everybody is faced with one thing or the other. Well, that gives God an opportunity to manifest his power. How many of you say praise the Lord? Oh yes, because the power of God, see, he begins where man's strength ends. You know, where our strength ends, that's when the power of God begins. You know, as long as you think you can do it yourself, well, there's not very much for God to do then. But when you are helpless, when you relinquish all to God and say, Lord, I throw up my hands and I don't know what else to do. See, now some people, they say, well, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to quit. I'm going to take my life or do any of these things. Oh, no. See, that's where they miss the mark. When you don't know anything else to do, You need to turn your eyes unto the Lord. That's what gives you the victory. And God knows how to turn the situation around, and He'll turn it around for you this morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, with every hand lifted up this morning, I want you to ask the Lord what you would like the Lord to do for you. I want you to cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, my eyes are upon you this morning. The situation that I'm in is too large for me. It's overwhelming. I can't even think of a way out. But I know, Lord, that you do not help with many, and you do not use, you know, the power of the might of the arm or whatever, but you are able. You are able to make all grace abound towards me and pull me out of this situation and give me a new beginning. I want you to pray that prayer this morning. If you need help from the Lord, I want you to look up to the Lord this morning. I want you to turn your eyes upon Him. I want you to rest in the Lord this morning. Look unto the Lord and be ye saved. Lift up your heads this morning, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Heavenly Father, come in into your people today. Let the light of your glory shine upon their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Gross darkness shall be upon the people, the Bible said, but the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon thee. He said, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Now for every situation that the devil, the enemy, has brought against the people of God, today, with a united force of faith, the united force of faith, we come against the works of the devil in Jesus' mighty name. And we will push them back. The Bible says, by my God, I'll push back the enemies. By my God, I will leap over even troops and run through troops and leap over walls and so forth. By the faith of God this morning, may every situation that has closed in on you, may the power of God begin to push them back. In Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says, God, He made the Red Sea into heaps of water. On the left and on the right, made a heap of water so that the ransom can go through on dry land. In the name of Jesus, whatever Red Sea you are facing this morning, I command the east wind, I command the north and the south and the west wind, begin to blow and make heaps of water on every side and give you a dry land to go through. In Jesus' mighty name. The Bible said, therefore shall the ransom of the Lord return unto Zion with joy and singing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father Lord, work a miracle for your people, Lord. As we trust you, as we lift our eyes unto you, Lord, every need in this place, Lord. The Bible says, Lord, you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Is anybody here have any need this morning? Do you have a desire? Do you have something that you want God to do for you? I want you to know that God is opening His hand and He's going to meet your need this morning. Blessed be the name of Jesus. How many of you can say amen to that? Can you shout hallelujah to that? Can you shout praise in the name of the Lord? Our eyes are upon you this morning, Lord. And the people of God believe you this morning. A short exhortation for you this morning. Let us trust the Lord. And let us look for an answer from God. Look for a blessing from the Lord. Look for a miracle from the Lord. Hallelujah. God will step into your situation when you keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your eyes only upon the Lord. Trust not in any man. Trust not in princes, because there is no helping them. But trust in the Lord this morning. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, go with your people this week, Lord, and work tremendous miracles, Lord. Open up doors that the devil has closed. Glory to God in the highest. He said, I am the Lord that openeth and no man can shut. Not even any devil, not even any power in hell is powerful enough to shut whatever door the Lord opens for you. And everything that Satan has tried to close up, we command them opened in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The only doors that will remain closed are the doors of disappointments, the doors of tragedy, the doors of sickness and disease, the doors of all kinds of evil. We command them to remain closed In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He said, I'm also the one that closes, and no man can shut. When God has closed a chapter of disappointment and evil in your life, nobody can bring it up again. It is closed. He's turned it around. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you for turning it around for your people this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Come on, go ahead and give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the hand clap. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. You are holy. Holy Lord and God, you are Lord. Forever you are Lord. You, Jesus, you are holy. Holy Lord and forever you are God. Forever you are God. Thank you, Jesus, you are God. Praise Him. Come on up and help us with this song. Forever you are God. Forever you are God. Thank you, Jesus, you are God. Holy Lord and forever you are God. Thank you, Jesus, you are holy.